What's up, what's up, what's up, y'all? It's your boy McCall. We are live tonight at the Feel Good Nation Ground Zero headquarters. And we have a great, awesome, dope, exciting podcast for you guys tonight. Hopefully you guys are staying tuned the whole night. I want to introduce myself. I'm Brandon McCall. We also got Jacob over there in the corner. What's up, Jacob?
Hey, what's up, guys?
All right, and our special guest tonight is none other than Gerard
LaSalle
Payne. Big homie in the building. We'll fly like clothing. We are super excited to have him on. It's going to be a dope podcast, guys. We're about to have some fun. So stay tuned as we get the show going. Let's get it. All right. So check it out. Jacob's actually going to start off with some questions. We're actually going to make sure that Gerard gets all of his information out. So I'm going to be camera guy / interviewer right now. We actually don't have our anchor right now. He's at the...
filling the blanks.
Our anchor right now is actually in the gym probably still. He's working out. Shouts out to Antonio Morris. He probably showed up here in a little bit. But Jacob's going to start off asking questions. Gerard, he's going to give us a little bit of his backstory, and we're going to talk about the topic for the night. So y'all listen in.
Absolutely. So Gerard, I know you're a Roanoke local guy.
Yeah.
Do you want to share a minute or two on kind of your background?
All right, so basically growing up, I'm born in Florida, Orlando, Florida. I grew up around here. Moved to Roanoke when I was about 2 years old. Been growing up here. I went to Patrick Henry High School, played football with Brandon. I played basketball as well, kind of excelled a little bit. I was able to go to college. I went to Glenville State University in West Virginia, Division II. Unfortunately, I got hurt. I broke my ankle. Ended up coming back home and working and things like that. Some adversity hit, life hit. I had family members get sick. My dad got sick with cancer. So eventually I had to pick up a job. And then, that's where all this started.
Yeah, so. I got you. Awesome. Tell us a little bit about your company, kind of how that got started, your clothing brand,
so
how that shot off.
A while ago, high school days, we had this group, the ABG Fly Boys. Brandon was a member. We had a bunch of others. We used to host events, do different parties. That kind of, I guess, did away with itself. We had some adversity issues and things like that. We were young and dumb, so we clashed a little bit.
That's fair.
But then I branched off and I started doing my own thing. But I was always into fashion. Sometimes, I guess, growing up, I didn't really have the money to get it. But we would make a way. We would rake leaves. Me and my brothers and I'm the youngest of three. So we would rake leaves, shovel snow, cut grass, do whatever to make a wake way, buy our school clothes, at least go half with my dad on it. So like I said, I've always been into fashion and things like that. Me growing older, I just got tired of, I guess, making the next man rich. So I wanted to start my own brand. So then that's when I came up with Fly Life. Fly Life, it went through different stages. I've had a couple different logos. The Duck, Jefe, as I call them, which is the boss in Spanish. That's always been in the logo, but I just simplified things. Once you get into branding, you realize, the cost savings is the simplest logo possible. So you want to cut down on colors and things like that. But like I said, I've always kept it up. Fly Life just started based off my life story. Me growing up, making a way, coming from nothing. My saying is, silence the critics, create your own success story. And it basically means, coming from nothing through hard work and dedication, no matter what adversity you face and challenges, like I said, through hard work, you can make a way and you can live inevitably the fly life.
That's awesome, man. That's no joke right there. That is, it's really cool how a lot of the things that you kind of go through in life end up feeding into to whatever your passion is and whatever you succeed at. Kind of build that strong foundation. So you when did Fly Life clothing get started?
2015 is where I officially launched it. I got my LLC and things like that. I took a break for a while because I just wanted to bring out better quality product and things of that nature. And it just all came with trials and tribulations, error, things like that. So now I have, good product, a nice manufacturer, I have good contacts. so I'm able to produce what I want.
Absolutely, man. That's awesome. Very cool. So I know Brandon was telling us a little bit about some of the things you've done to kind of give back to the community with Fly Life Clothing and you yourself personally too. Yeah. I know that sounds like there's a couple heartstrings attached to it there, but yeah. Brandon, do you have any questions on that or want to hit on that?
Yeah, so I know that I've seen you in action as far as giving back to the community, things like that. I know you have backpack drives and things like that. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about those, or tell the audience a little bit about those backpack drives and some of the issues.
So we do, every year we do the Star City Give Back. Last year was our third anniversary. It started, honestly, it really started like off of Facebook status. I've always wanted to give back. I really didn't know how to. I've seen different people in the community giving back. And coming from where I come from, Northwest Roanoke, where people don't have access to a lot of things. And, like I said, me growing up, having to cut grass and rake leaves and things like that to buy my own school clothes, the last thing I want a kid to have to do is worry about going to school getting picked on. Or I know just me, I might have had only one binder or one notebook that I had to use for multiple classes. Which it, discombobulated and be unorganized and things like that, which just makes your life a lot harder, especially in school. And then you want to take that burden off the parents as well. And nowadays they got a lot going on, enough going on to where they don't need to worry about struggling to supply school supplies.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that Roanoke as a whole,
y'all order pizza.
he's coming on in. He's coming up.
Wait, is it paid for? We're gonna take a piece of his face.
Nah, but my whole goal was to basically make sure, like Roanoke as a whole, we all came together as one, and we helped out the community in general.
Yeah.
Like I don't do this for clout or nothing like that. I don't want any awards for it. Mm-hmm. Nothing. It's a few other people that have been and helped me out, and I actually now I'm a member of the Humble Hustle because of that. I didn't want, if it's five of us doing back to school drives and Rona, why are we doing them at XYZ location on different dates when we can all come together and do it at one? And we can continuously do that throughout the year. So, like I said, every year we do the Star City Give Back. Normally a week before school starts. Last year we were able to give away 700 field book bags. So yeah, it was super dope. Not only did we give away book bags at Washington Park, where we had it, but afterwards we had leftover material, so we went around to the urban, the local neighborhoods and the projects or whatever you want to call it, and we were able to give those people book bags, the ones that don't have cars and things like that, that couldn't make it and are too far to walk, we pulled up in their areas and we gave them away as well.
I think that's interesting because I grew up, poor in the inner city and things like that, and it was always other people giving us stuff, white people, foreigners, different church groups and things like that. But it's very rarely people who look like me or people who look like us, giving back and showing, what I'm saying?
And that's my point. Like, one of the things, I didn't have a clean record. I've been in some trouble, growing up and things like that. I have tattoos, I'm covered. So I feel like if a kid sees somebody like me giving back, they'd be like, oh, okay, maybe I can make a way out. My life can change for the better. Like that, rather than a person with a suit and tie coming into their, they can't relate to them, but they can probably relate to somebody like that.
Exactly, and I think it shows a lot of growth for us to be able to have these conversations and also give back to the community and things like that, like we're doing. Big ups to you guys, for pushing. And no one really, told you guys to do it. Like, there's no OG to be like, yo, you guys should do this or do that. It was more so of I think this is what we should do. Am I mistaken?
That's definitely right. I saw the work that Xavier Ducker was doing with the Humble Hustle because he started. He was the forefront, the founder. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that pushed me. Just a guy that I've known since we played Pop Warner football together. Mm-hmm. So seeing somebody like that you've grown up with doing it, it definitely makes you want to take that initial step and do it as well as yourself. Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this. Who was your inspiration? Growing up, who was your inspiration in life? Or did you have anyone that you actually looked up to? Because I know growing up when we grew up, I grew up on 12. You grew up on
23rd.
23rd, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, uh-huh. wasn't much that we could, you know what I'm saying, look up to. But who influenced you as you
were? I mean, definitely my dad. At the end of the day, even now, I just want to make my dad proud.
Yeah.
So my father can say he's happy, then I'm good. My dad, you know, he took care of me and my brothers. Of course, he has some help, but for a man to basically take full custody of three sons, three boys, you really don't see that. I know a lot of my friends don't have fathers, or this, that, a third, so. So, for my father, basically, when we were, you know, 1, 2, and 3, for him to be like, yeah, I'm taking custody of my son, and I'm going to rock with it, I have nothing but the respect for him.
And then bringing you guys from Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Yes,
I mean, I have, like I said, nothing but respect for my dad, so.
Big ups to Pops.
Everybody knows my Pops, loves my Pops. He's a great guy, so I'm loving the death. Got his face tatted on the inside of my arm, so.
Most definitely. How do you see giving back to the community in the future? Like, how do you see us growing from, or how do you see yourself growing from what you've done now, the 700 book bags? Mm-hmm. How do you see yourself growing in the future? Like, how do you tie this part of that?
Honestly, it just comes with help, with support. I guess, you know, the first year we did it, you know, some people supported, but I guess they didn't take it as serious. But now that they see we're constantly doing it and that we really don't want any gratification for it, they're like, okay, let me help them a little bit more. Now, we can get those major corporations like a Walmart or a Kroger or, you know, just even somewhere around here that would actually get on our back and help us out. That would, you know, that would be so dope.
You just said something interesting. You said how people see you doing something good in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And then they want to support, and then they're like, I don't know if I want to support or not because I don't know how long this thing's going to run. Then they see you continuing to run. How does that make you feel as a, I'll say, a trailblazer in the community?
Honestly, you got to take that stuff with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. I mean, either it's come to the point where either they're going to help or not. Yeah. You got to keep pushing. You know what your goals are set for, so you just got to keep going.
But then you see him at Walmart, right?
I mean, that's just even like with COVID stuff, you know, you'll see people with packs on, you know, or they might go to Charlotte, Atlanta and spend, you know, thousands of dollars when my stuff is only $35.
Mm-hmm.
So my hat's only $25.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really charging an arm and a leg when I'm now for the quality of product I have. I feel like I could charge way more.
Yeah.
But somebody even said, I think it was today, they were like, oh, I really like your new designs. That stuff is dope. And I'm like, well, then order it then. Like, order it.
Yeah.
It's that simple to order. So they're like, I might. But if you think it's dope, then order it. You would go to, like I said, a PacSun or H&M and spend, you know, $50, $60 to support something like that.
I realize that people are very, very brand conscious.
Yeah.
And in this sense, though, like kind of how we were in high school. Like, we were some of the first kids in Roanoke wearing like fitting jeans and Abercrombie and stuff like that.
The wallet chains.
Yeah, the wallet chains. Like, we was one of the first ones, and everybody was like, y'all look whack, y'all look terrible.
Uh-huh.
And then like a year later, everybody's doing the same exact thing that we were doing. And I think as you guys continue to push, like, it'll be a household name, especially in this area, because people want to make sure that it's tried and true.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then they also want to be associated with greatness. That's why people wear Jordan. That's why people wear Polo, you know, et cetera. You know what I'm saying? And I think as you guys, and as well as the Humble Hustle Company, the Humble Hustle brand is doing good as well. As you guys continue to get those, you know, more and more time in the game and things like that, it's bound for people to catch on to it even more. I know a mutual friend of ours, Big Dom. Shouts out to Big Dom.
Yeah.
he rocks for our life. It's one of those things where it continues.
I could have left the city a long time ago.
Yeah.
I mean, even now I have 22 job offers on the table.
Yeah.
Just from my experience and, you know, management and things like that. But somebody sent me a post last week, and it was literally like, the people who, I guess, pop or whatever, they start at home first.
Mm-hmm.
They're the local celebrities first. They take over home first. So then at the end of the day, you know where they're coming from, you know what they represent, and you get the local companies and blah, blah, blah to back you. And then you can just keep pushing forward, And you know, when they start bringing, I guess, these artists and they start doing these shows, if everybody in there has got on Fly Life or something like that, Humble Hustle, whatever it may be, you know, artists is gonna eventually be like, oh, what's that? And it only takes that one person to rock, to wear your stuff for you to pop off. I know a guy from Canada, J. Cole wore one of his t-shirts and now he has like 100-something thousand followers on social media. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, and this is gonna be a quick turn. how do you feel about Kanye's clothing line? Because Kanye is Kanye. Even if he had his Kanye robe, you know what I'm saying? With his clothes, though, I know his sneakers in there are fire. With his clothes.
If you could get somebody, first of all, I had just had this conversation. Kanye is a fashion trendsetter. People don't give him enough credit to where he does, I guess, on a grand scale of things. Now, he might be loco, you know, off his rocker sometimes, but I feel like he's a psychotic genius. So just think about years ago, the biker denim jeans with the elongated t-shirts.
Yeah.
Kanye was literally one of the first people wearing those.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he put the Boost technology with Adidas.
Yes.
Now you see Boost technology with everything.
Everything, yeah.
Even these, all right, so people say space shoes or whatever you want to call it. Look at the Balenciagas, look at the Versace shoes that's coming out. Even Skechers, you know, the Fila, like everybody has that big shoe now.
Yeah.
And it started with the Wave Runner. So people don't give him enough credit. He might be crazy, but he's a genius at the same time.
When people see money being made, they're quick to change up real quick. Like everything you go out and do, like, oh, Black Panther's nigga? All right, I want another black action figure. You know what I'm saying?
Like, even like now, people say, all right, he takes Walmart sweatpants and puts them on and sells them for $500. But nowadays, all you see is people wearing the sweatpants with their, you know, the socks up and the t-shirts and jackets and jean jackets and stuff like that. So, I mean, you can't fault it. If it's working, then I wouldn't stop it.
It's working, it's working.
Exactly.
For sure. And we're going to switch off just a little bit, because the podcast headline tonight is talking about it's the season of giving and things like that. And so we're going to talk about a little bit about giving, like we just talked to Gerard about him giving back to the community and things like that. He said one of his biggest inspirations was his dad. His dad was like is a mentor to him, for sure, that influenced him to get where he is today, for sure. And so I'm gonna ask Jacob, you know, who helped you get to where you are? Who's given to you, or have you given to anyone else?
Yeah, for sure. So there's definitely been people in my life that have taught me different lessons, different values. You know, my dad, you know, I remember from a young age teaching me, if you're gonna do it right. Like, don't go halfway on it. You know, do your best, figure it out, do it to the best that you're able to do, and put the effort in to make it good. If you're not able to do it, then, you know, obviously get help. But, you know, he taught me hard work. He taught me doing things, you know, properly. That doesn't mean, and I've learned this from actually another mentor of mine, you know, don't be scared of failure. You know, don't like just be like, oh, I want to do it right so much that you get paralyzed, but pursuing that excellence, like putting it all on the table, I think is the main point that I've been able to learn there. And I have a couple like life coaches, business mentors, if you will, and they've, you know, helped me in a ton of different areas, from even the simplest thing of getting a budget. You know, getting my finances in order in my house first, so that then I'm able to actually put money in those charities and those things that I want to give back to, and also not be, you know, I feel like I have to kind of build my roof before it rains, so then I can help other people, you know, develop themselves too. And so that's a couple people for me, is my dad and a couple of my coaches.
But, that's cool.
Yeah, man.
Me personally, I was raised by a single mom, and my mom, she taught us a lot of respect and things like that. Not much on giving, giving respect, of course. But I didn't really start giving back or anything like that until, honestly, like last year. I didn't have a lot of mentors growing up or anything like that. I was one of the kids who just, I seen something that I liked, and I'd be like, all right, I'm going to try that. Or I seen something I didn't like, and I'm like, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. But last year, me and my oldest son, it was right around this time of year. We drove around downtown Roanoke and we handed out sandwiches to the homeless. Like, we got out the car and like walked around and like talked to these people, just to see, you know, what they were doing, where they were, you know, in their headspace. I knew where they were physically, but just to, you know, figure out like how are you, why are you here, how are you here, and things like that. And it was a very eye-opening experience because 9 out of 10 people that I came across, they were just hopeless. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily like mentally or whatever. It was like they had no hope, and it got them to where they were. They had no hope in the future, the next day, and things like that. And it kind of got me on the path I'm on now, like reaching out to people, helping people, life coaching, motivational speaking, things like that. And like, some people just need hope, you know? And it was an eye-opening experience for my, at that time, 7-year-old son, because he was like, you know, why is he on the street? You know what I'm saying? And it's hard to explain to your kid, like, why you drove by the guy asking for money on the corner. Like, it's like, those dudes probably got more money than me, son. Like, you know, like they hustling hard right now, you know what I'm saying? But it was eye-opening for him because, you know, we live in a pretty nice neighborhood. You know, we're pretty, you know, good citizens and things like that. And he's never seen the polar opposite of that. People actually sleeping on the street. You know what I'm saying? And
that's great.
You can actually just see him like trying to process like, how did they get here? Why are they here? And why can't daddy take them home? Why can't daddy help them? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. More than just the sandwich and a conversation. And it was eye-opening, and it did something to me. You know, I guess, you know, you probably had the same experience when you're giving these 8-9-year-old kids a backpack and stuff like that. You know, it's like, it does something to you.
Yeah, I figure, you know, a kid, you give them a book bag, you never know, like, how that's going to make their day.
Yeah.
Something like that. Because, like I said, it's just a weight lifted off their shoulder and the parents' shoulders as well. Mm-hmm. That's why I kind of want, eventually, I want to be able to take kids out of the country. You know, I mean, that's one of my goals. When you said, you know, people sleeping on the streets. Yeah. So I was just in Brazil a week before last, and I literally
Brazil. I was in South Roanoke last year.
Yeah, so I was in Brazil, and it might have been 3-4 o'clock in the morning. I guess we were leaving the club or something. We saw a family literally on the streets, like a whole family. Like, I mean, it might have been 5 or 6 of them. And they're all just laying in a row. And I mean, they're using a bathroom outside and everything. I mean, so, you know, stuff like that is eye-opening, especially in a foreign country,
yeah,
you know, just the cultures and things of that nature. But to see I've never seen a whole family just laying like that. So that was definitely.
And probably don't have like any kind of shelters or anything like that over there. You're probably not.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was riding by, you know, going to my hotel, you could see the shacks and things of that nature. So, I mean, Brazil is definitely a beautiful place, but it's poor.
How poor do you have to be to not afford a shack? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's really bad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, but I guess we look at it different because $1 is like $3 over there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess we're living rich per se.
Yeah, oh yeah. We're definitely, this country is the 1%.
Yeah, and then I'm in the tourist part, so, you know, things are actually even more, but it's still fairly cheap, so.
That's
definitely eye-opening.
Mm-hmm. Where do you see our community growing? Because I know you do a lot, like we talked about, you do a lot of community work and things like that. How do you see our community growing, specifically, I'll say, in the school systems and things like that?
Oh, my gosh. Just from what I hear, I'm not personally in the school system. I guess I work with a few kids. Mm-hmm. But just from what I hear, I'm in the school system. I run over, needs a lot of work with the city. In general, we have a long ways to go. And I don't think it's just bad when I was in school. Like, as far as PH,
yeah.
I feel like I went to a pretty good school.
Yeah.
But just the things I'm hearing now, especially about, like, Fleming and things like that, I mean, we have a long way to go. You know, we got to deal with free lunches, and we just got to, I don't know, it's a lot of work. I wouldn't even know where to start.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say it starts at home either. But
wow. A lot of people do be like, it starts with the parents first, you know.
I mean, honestly, parents can only do so much, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the government in general. Yeah. You know, they're dealing with the cards they're dealt. It's a lot of poverty. Yeah. It's a lot of homeless children. I do know that.
Yes.
I know that during the snow days, they opened the school system. I mean, schools for a reason. They just didn't give them a place to go for a couple. They fed them lunch for a reason. Those kids didn't have nowhere to go to eat.
Yeah.
So they use school, you know, their school lunches. They look forward to that breakfast, lunch, or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, it's honestly, in order to, I guess, affect change in the school, we need to affect change in the government, the federal government. Mm-hmm. They need to do more. And locally, too. So.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. I know that was a loaded question. On the lighter note.
On the lighter note.
Yeah, I don't want to get into politics.
Yeah. How about them Lakers?
How about them Lakers? What's up, LeBron? What's up, LeBron?
What's up, LeBron?
Somebody send me tickets. I need to go. I want to go to L.A. Don't send me no tickets for Charlotte. I want to go to a game in L.A. Staples Center.
Staples Center.
Yeah. I still need a LeBron jersey.
You need a LeBron? So I was surprised you don't have a LeBron
jersey. No, see, and this is the crazy thing about it, all right? The world does not want me to get a LeBron jersey. So every time I've tried to order a LeBron jersey online, it's literally declined my card for fraud.
What? Stolen card.
And I know I can afford a LeBron jersey. Like, so I tried it 3 times, and every time it declined my card. The world doesn't want me to get a LeBron jersey. You know, I'm just going to say that.
Do you have the $500 pair of Lakers shorts?
No.
No?
No, I wasn't. I was trying to get the $120 pair of Lakers shorts. But the 500 ones? Nah. But those are some dope shorts.
What's the difference between the two?
Just the brand.
It's just the brand. Okay.
Yeah, just the name on the back. And then the tag.
Just the tag on the back.
That's all. The tag makes
fashion,
a difference,
fashion.
Man.
We're back. Fashion. We're back to fashion. Yeah. There we go.
The tag makes a difference.
So I know you're a Gators fan.
Definitely.
Who are they looking like? I'm
a Gators. What do you mean?
I've been paying attention to college football.
We're really good this year. We're actually number 10 in football.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're going to get better, too. I mean, first year head coach, we're back. You know, offense is looking good. Defense is always stout. And we got some recruits. I follow all the pages on social media.
Yeah.
We got some dope recruits coming in. We got some recruits in basketball, too. Number 2 recruiting class in the nation right now.
Really?
Basketball.
I didn't know Georgia had a basketball team.
Georgia?
I was Florida, my fault. I didn't know Florida had a basketball team.
He won a national championship 2 years in a row.
Really?
I mean, this was some years ago.
I don't like college basketball.
I love college. I love college sports better than NFL. I mean, pro sports are pretty boring. Like, I can't watch a full NFL game and not fall asleep.
I can't watch a full NFL game at all because I don't like nobody's playing. I was a Peyton Manning fan.
And I'm right. Hoping that Cam Newton does what he's supposed to do tonight so I can win my fantasy fantasy football championship.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. I need Cam Newton to show off tonight.
He can't be. What about you, Jacob?
I don't really follow him much in terms of sports anymore. I mean, I went to Virginia Tech.
I know.
I was like, I went to Tech, so I mean, I went to all the football games, and you know, it was a.
I hate Tech.
Yeah, right. It was a good excuse to cheer a little bit, but I don't know, man. I'm too focused on the hustle.
I dropped off a professor night before last at Tech. He came back from like Dubai for like a month or something like that. They're doing research out there. And he goes, "What the hell is going on with our football team?" I was like, "Sir, I have no idea." I was like, "I don't know what happened." He's like, "Good grief. I don't know what's going on." I was like, all right,
I was 6'3", I could play the Tech.
He said he's 6'3", could play the Tech.
If I was 6'3", I definitely would win D1.
You would win D1? That's funny. Hey, interesting enough, so I worked at Fleming last year. And guess who was the teacher?
Bob Gray.
Bob Gray was right next door to me. Shouts out to William Fleming and Bob Gray.
Yeah, that's all I'm gonna say to you. Bob should just gave you a ball more, man.
Bob should give you a ball more. Yeah. That's funny. What is your greatest memory throughout your whole entire life? Like, what do you remember? Like, what is your greatest memory?
Dude, I'm 29. That's a lot.
I know, but like, what capsizes everything?
I guess I tweeted this, that the give back last year was probably like the dopest thing mm-hmm. I've ever done. I was so at peace. I even tweeted, I said, if I left the earth today, I'm at peace. Just because, you know, actually pulling up in the neighborhoods and giving kids just, you know, coming and actually running down the hills and things like that. And we're just giving them book bags. I mean, that was so dope. So,
wow.
I mean, I guess that would be it.
Why do you think you had that feeling or that response?
I mean, you just don't see it. I guess. I know if I was a kid, I guess that's like the ice cream truck.
It's like that, yeah.
And somebody just giving out free ice cream, you know, things like that. Just, but it's on a larger level, so.
Ice creams are expensive nowadays, my boy. Super expensive. But yeah, that's pretty dope. That's pretty dope. That's very honorable of you to say. What about you, Jacob?
Oh, jeez. I was going to comment on his.
Oh, no, no.
So I think it's also really cool that, you know, like what you were saying, like, mm-hmm. you're someone in those communities that these people can look up to, mm-hmm. too, and say, oh, well, that's an example of where I could be. I just thought that was worth noting there. I just think that's a really cool dynamic all the time. I love watching people succeed and not forget where they came from and have that place hold a near and dear place in their heart. Like for me, like I really love helping people believe more in themselves,
yeah.
because back in the day, I mean, I was the shyest person on the face of the planet. And I had to force myself out of it, and it was because somebody believed in me and helped me out through that process. So probably the coolest thing I've ever done, or memory I have. Jeez, oh, man, that's kind of tough. I mean, it's always cool. I'll get more general with this. It's always cool just having those critical conversations. Like, all right, here's one example. My nephew, little dude, he's like 6 years old, but I see him like sometimes get frustrated with things and be like, I can't do it. And I'm like, all right, bro. Like, we're gonna change that thought process right now.
Yes.
And just like slowing him down at such a young age to help him say, not I can't do it, but how can I figure it out?
Yes.
So like those little moments of being able to give and instill that,
yes.
and change that thought process so that later in life he won't have to deal with, you know, some of the things I had to overcome,
exactly.
some of that adversity.
It's funny to say because I had a similar issue was actually this year. This August I was the football coach for the Benny Patriots, right? And that was a story in itself. Like, they emailed all the parents, they're like, we have no coach. But please bring your kids, right? So I was like, all right. So then this lady takes over, and she had no idea what was going on. So I was like, all right, let me unlock my inner Bob Gray, right? Right. So I took over the football team, but we were playing Northwest,
Star City,
yeah, which is Fleming's college. So it's basically PH versus Fleming, right? So I have 12 players total. They have like 28, right? And it's 7-7. We tied them up. They beat us the first game. This is the second game. We tied them up 7-7. And all my kids are tired. They're frustrated. They're, you know, they're just tired, right? So I was like, all right, everybody right now, everybody listen to me. Everybody do the floss right now. So all these little 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old white kids are just like flossing in the middle of the field during the timeout, right? So then they're giggling and laughing and all this kind of stuff. I was like, all right, everybody do your shoes. Everybody's just like with football gear on, going like this. The next play, we get a touchdown. All right? Then I was like, all right, we're going to do it again, all right? Let's floss one more time. Got another touchdown. We end up beating them 21-14, right? So I was like, this is pretty elite, you know, but I actually seen the cause and the effect, like, within minutes. Usually it takes a while for, you know what I'm saying, like, but I actually seen the transition and the change right then and there off of just getting them not focusing on the negative, but, like, let's have a little bit of fun, let's remember this is a game, and then, you know, we just ran the score up on, you know, this really good team. Now, the next time they beat us, they beat us by 2 touchdowns. And then the last time we beat them. But, you know, it was just like, I actually could see the change. Now, I know you have your I know you had your league, you know what I'm saying, which is a different story. We're not going to talk about that.
Yeah, we beat Star City 52-0.
But how did you do that? So, what, your team consisted of what, though? Like, the best in the city?
well, I can't say the best, because second best, because we lost to the Colts. Oh, but my team, I guess it's different because you have the Colts, which were like a whole lot of me growing up. Like, I played with their dads and things like that.
Yeah.
And then you might have my team, a whole lot of you.
Oh, that's terrible.
No, we just grew up different, so it's certain buttons that you can press.
Yes.
And my kids, you know, you press the wrong button, they just fold. But against everybody else except the coach, we walk on the field, I can get them to do whatever they wanted, and we would show off. When we get the coach, they see the coach in their jersey, they just
fold.
They just like, bro.
That's crazy.
It's like, at the end of the day, they're the same kids. Y'all go to school with them.
Yeah.
Y'all eat with them. So it's nothing to be afraid of.
But it's like, it's the mind control. Like, we clearly had the fastest kid on our team.
Yeah.
He's on the field. He's faster than anybody in the whole entire league. And one dude from Northwest was like, "You slow," right? After he ran three touchdowns on him, he said, "You slow." My player, he came to me crying, like bawling, crying.
Yeah.
I was like, "What's wrong with you?" He was like, "He told me I was slow." I was like,
"See, I'm a hard coach, though.
He couldn't catch you. What are you talking about?"
I'm a hard coach. I actually coached my kids. I mean, it's AAU, and I coached AAU last year. Mm-hmm. So they were 8, 9 year olds. Well, yeah. Actually, we had some that were 6, but mainly 8 and 9. And I literally coached them like they were high school seniors or college. Like, I mean, we're running plays that, and I'm teaching them things that I learned when I was in college.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, they'll just learn it at an early age and keep going up. I mean, honestly, this is things that, this is things that I wish I learned when I was in high school that I had to learn, you know, on the fly. I'm going to practice. I didn't know what a wrong arm was or a stack 6'3" laser or whatever. Like, I'm looking like, what do you mean?
All we do is 48 toss.
Yeah, like, we doing toss right, toss left, basically. Like, simple stuff. And then that terminology and stuff. So, I mean, kid pick up it on the ears. It just helps them out.
That's what's up.
It's wild how kids are so, like, malleable. Mm-hmm. Like they pick up, like, the kid who said, like, you know, he got told he was slow. Yep. Versus you talking to, like, and I know you remedied that. But also, when you were talking to your kids and coaching them and expecting them to understand, because, I mean, they're all fully capable.
Exactly.
So I think, like, adopting that mindset still as adults, like, I mean, it's like the Get Moving Monday we put out today on the Feel Good Nation, you know, Facebook page. It's like, you know, 2019's coming. Like, whatever you didn't do in 2018, like, draw a line in the sand, figure it out, get it done. You just make moves to do it, right?
Yeah, I just said something about that. Because I keep seeing people say, 2019's coming. I'm claiming, you know, prosperity, this, that, and the third, but 2018 is not over yet.
You got plenty of time to ramp up that momentum.
Like I said, I mean, just, you know, as many deaths as we had recently, tomorrow's not promised, so do what you got to do today. Like, don't worry about tomorrow. Sure. Deal with 2019 when it comes. Yeah. But right now, we're still in 2018. We still got a few weeks left, so keep grinding, you know what I mean? Finish strong. That's my whole point.
Most definitely. And this would be our last question for tonight. What is 2019 bringing towards you?
I know
you're full time fly life.
Yep.
And you know, you've been all over the world and you've traveled a lot. You got your hands in a little bit of everything. What does 2019 look like for Gerard?
2019 is just definitely continued growth, health and prosperity. My goal this year, you know, travel wise, with a touch. 5 different countries. So I was able to accomplish that. So, you know, I might up it to 10 next year.
Cool.
And just like I said, keep expanding, keep helping people. That's all I care about. Everything else will take care of itself.
What's that, man? Well, y'all heard it here first. The guy here, Gerard Payne. Any closing statements?
Make tomorrow count. Make today count.
Make today count.
You're still
tough. Got a couple more hours.
Yeah, we good.
Listen, this is your boy McCall with Feel Good Nation. We appreciate y'all listening to us today. Make sure you're hitting the like buttons and sharing this. We need the love. We need the motivation. We need the preparation as well. And also there's another shun word I'm looking for. Do you know what it is?
Inspiration.
I said inspiration.
Nope.
inspiration, motivation.
Just enjoy it.
Just enjoy it.
We love you guys.
Oh, also, we are educating my brother. We also are on Apple's podcast now, so check us out on Apple's podcast. Go into the search and type in, is it iTunes podcast?
Hey, we're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we're all over the place. Just wherever you look for your podcast, just check us out on there.
So you know this. I was trying to call. Listen to him. I appreciate y'all. It's your boy McCall.
G-Rod Payne.
Jacob Brooke.
And we appreciate y'all. We out.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.